Okay, so we're hanging out today with Frank Warren in Studio 9. And Frank, we call it Studio 9 because when we decided to do the podcast to follow up the summit, I was going to call it the Stupendous Podcast. And then I thought that was kind of cheesy. I use that a lot. It's kind of my thing. And then we're in here and I said to Mikey, I said, who does all of the film and editing and stuff, what room are we in? He said, Studio 9. I'm like, well, that's the name of the podcast, Studio 9. And perfect my name fit is still in the word studio. So I can still...
It's meant to be.
It's meant to be. So welcome and thanks.
It's great
and
to be here.
I'm pumped that you're here because you're a pretty cool force. And you've done some pretty amazing things. And I want to get to kind of a bit about the backstory of how you got to where you are now.
Sure.
So let's go back. So tell me, where did you grow up? Where did you go to high school? Yeah. You know, that type of stuff. Background there.
Grew up in California, spent some time during high school years in Illinois, back to California for school, got a business degree, started a business on the East Coast, had my business going well for 20 years.
What was the business?
It was called Instant Information Systems. It was document delivery, kind of like interlibrary loan at the library. It was a great business. It was lucrative. It supported our family, but it was kind of boring. And thank God for boring jobs, because it forced me, after working on the weekends, to pursue these creative kind of prank art projects. They all had to do with postcards. And Post Secret was the third one. I printed up 3,000 of these self-addressed postcards, blank on one side, some simple instructions, inviting people to write down a secret they'd never told anyone before, decorate the card, and mail it to me anonymously. Didn't really know if it would go anywhere, but after work, I was handing out these postcards to strangers as they walked on the sidewalk of Washington, D.C.
Did you get people thinking you were handing them something else? Like, was it maybe one of those guys in the soapbox? Or
I got all kinds of reactions. Some people took a handful of cards. Some people ignored me. Some people said, I don't have any secrets.
Right.
But I forced cards on them because I believe they have the best ones.
So you put the cards out, then they started coming back.
Yeah, I think before we even go there, the idea of pursuing a crazy idea can sometimes have value. It felt crazy to me too. But if later on, when Post Secret started receiving all this attention, people would say, oh, what a great idea. And it never felt like a great or complicated idea. It was just mail me your secrets on postcards. What could be more simple than that? And really, I think what made all the difference in the world is I had faith in this crazy idea. And I think there are so many crazy ideas out there right now, tens of thousands, just waiting for that one person to have the crazy faith in, and then leverage the power of the web, which for the first time in human history can allow us to reach literally tens of millions of people for free. And so we're all kind of challenged to just take the right words, put them in the right order, share them on the web, and have a message that creates a new kind of conversation, a new community, something that's transformative.
Right. And how fast did they come in?
It was a slow trickle at first, maybe 3 or 4 every day. But as they came in, I would scan them and I'd post them on the web. And there were the Sunday secrets. That first Sunday, I had maybe 100 visitors to the website. Sunday after that, 1,000. Sunday after that, 100,000. It just, wow, it spread virally across the country, around the world. I started getting postcards with postmarks, not just from Washington, D.C., but from Texas and Toronto and Hong Kong and Tijuana and Switzerland and Iraq. And it was then I realized I had accidentally tapped into something full of mystery and wonder that I'll probably never fully understand.
So when you started it, you didn't have that vision of it being as big as it was. It was just something you were just doing for fun.
A crazy idea, and I felt it'd be cool for me. Like, I always felt like I had this rich interior life that I didn't always get a chance to share. And if I could create a safe, non-judgmental place where other people could share their stories and their feelings and their experiences, it could be really something special. I just had no idea, you know, the website would have 800 million hits.
Wow. What type of kid were you in high school?
Wow. I was not a popular kid. I was not the kid everybody told their secrets to. I was kind of a prankster. I would get in trouble. And I think that served me well later in life. The idea of not always following the rules and pursuing little projects that might not have had value for others, but had value for me. And in the world today, I think if you can create value out of something, it creates a great opportunity. And especially if you can do it in a way where you're sharing other people's voices. You know, there's something very noble, I think, while we're on this planet, if we can find a way to give voice to those who aren't being heard and share the untold stories. And if we can create that space for that to happen, it can be magic. And that's all I do. I just create a space where I respect people's secrets in a non-commercial way on the website.
Right. And then from the website came the book after the website.
Yeah. These compelling stories have been leveraged in all different platforms, which is marvelous about the world today. It started as an art project, actually, in an exhibit. Then it became a website. Then it became 6 best-selling books. Then it became a number of exhibits that have been at the Museum of Modern Art, the Smithsonian, at the White House. There's an album. There's an app. I continue to travel weekly and speak on college campuses about the transformative power of our secrets, of our stories.
And is there an age group that do you get it from 80-year-olds and 80-year-olds, or is there more of a, more of a specific age group?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get secrets from pretty much everybody, but there is a specific demographic, I think, that really resonates with this project. It's more women than men. And I think it's more young people than older people. And that's why I spend most of my time on college campuses. As a professional speaker, speakers' bureaus will start forcing you into conference speaking or corporate speaking or these places where there's a higher profit margin for them if you speak. And I've always wanted to stay on college campuses because I feel like that's where the message resonates most. I know when I was in high school, when I was in college, I felt alone. I felt without direction. And sometimes just thinking you're alone with those feelings is half the burden. And so with the books, I try to almost address those kinds of feelings that I had. And at my live events, too, I try and share the stories I wish I had heard that would have made me feel less weird or different as a young person. And for me, when I share the stories behind the secrets and talk about post-secret in the most meaningful way, I feel that young people are at that place in their life where they're most receptive to these ideas. They're really at a place where they're forming their identity. They're trying to really deeply understand what's true and what's bullshit, and they're willing to listen, and they're willing to kind of empathize with other people who might be in similar struggles.
Now, have you seen the secrets change? When was it? How long ago was the first postcard you received?
14 years ago. 14.
So in the 14 years you've done it, have you seen a change in the secrets? Or has it always been kind of a similarity? Is there new secrets that are happening now that weren't happening 14 years ago? Has technology changed things? Has politics, global issues changed things?
Well, there's always fluctuations in the profile of the secrets I receive. Around holidays, I'll get more secrets that are holiday related. I usually get more secrets about fathers around Father's Day than mothers around Mother's Day, which I think is interesting. Sometimes over time, the nature of the secrets will vary depending on what people are sharing. Not too many political secrets, really, just because the ones I share on the website, I think, act as a model, and they can be more heartfelt and hilarious and sexual and about your inner life. One of the very first secrets I received on a postcard said, "I'm a white guy, but I like black girls." And that was on the art exhibit. I had it posted. And somebody wrote on the secret, "That's okay." Mm. And even though that happened 14 years ago, that theme I see again and again and again in the project. The idea that dozens of times every week I get postcards that in one way or another are a secret about the journey that so many of us are on, trying to find that one person who we can be our full and true and whole selves with, that person we don't have to keep any secrets from. I see that secret, you know, every day on postcards.
You know, I think that we, I work with, you know, youth exclusively. 99% of the time I work with kids, and mostly the middle school, high school age, and I have for 27 years, millions of them. And I think that one of the biggest things that I have seen, and this might play out in the postcards too, is that if youth stop and have a conversation with people, most things can be dealt with, right? We don't have conversations. We don't find out the story behind the person. And once you know someone's story, it's hard to make fun of them, to bully them, to pick on them, to label them, once you know their story, because everyone's got a story. And I think the secrets are kind of like, that's their story. Maybe it's, you know, it's abbreviated, but it's their story. And I think it allows them maybe to get it off their back, right? Like if I just write this down, if I just say it out loud, whether it's the silliest thing or the most serious thing, there's probably some sort of release of something.
Secrets are the intimacy, or are the currency of intimacy. And in some ways, the stories that we tell are these empathy delivery devices, like what you were talking about. And for sure, when you're talking about secrets, you're talking about stigma. You're talking about burden. You're talking about hiding. I remember one postcard I got from somebody. It said, "The holes are from when my mom tried knocking down my door so she could continue beating me." And the postcard was made out of a photograph of her broken bedroom door. And when I got it, I scanned it. I posted it on the website. That day, on the Sunday, a million people visited the website. I started getting other emails from young people telling me their stories about their broken bedroom doors. As they sent me their pictures, I posted them on the website as well. And then I got one picture of a broken bedroom door that reminded me that when I was a kid, I had one of those doors too. And that's when it really kind of flipped for me. I understood there are two kinds of secrets. There are the ones that we hide from others and the secrets that we keep from ourselves.
Right.
And thinking back on that experience about 10 years ago, I remember too, I got an email from a girl who sent me a picture of her door. And her email read, "Dear Frank, seeing all these pictures of broken bedroom doors on your website, it doesn't depress me because all this time I thought I was the only one. And just knowing there are other people out there like me who share my secret, it doesn't make it go away, but it lets my burden feel just a little bit lighter."
Right. And I think it can be, and that's one of the things I was explaining to someone, you know, they're asking me about you and about the Post Secret, you know, the project and the whole story behind it. And I said, I think what it does for people is they feel less alone if they see a secret that they're like, that's my secret too.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe a little different here or there, but they relate to that secret. I think that's a magical part of it. And whether it's silly again or serious, they might think they're stupid or something, but like, oh, I wasn't so stupid. You know, like what's the funniest secret? Like what made you like almost pee your pants laughing? You're like, you've got to be kidding me. I wonder if it's real.
There's this one here on the top of the deck I was going to share with you, Stu. Okay. I like this one a lot. I haven't shared this one on the web. It's got a picture of an elevator on the face of it. And it says, "I feel guilty when I take elevators for one floor, so I limp when I get out." So that one makes me grin. There's this other one here. It's a little more romantic. This one has a couple under a tree with a heart over their heads. It reads, "I didn't enlist to escape you, I enlisted to pay for our wedding. Will you marry me?"
That's amazing.
This one's a little heartbreaking, actually, because 5 days ago, my wife, daughter, and I euthanized.
Euthanized, yeah.
We put down our dog Shadow, who we'd had for 17 years. And when we went to the vet, all of us wanted to be in the room when it happened, and we were. And the reason we made that decision is because of this secret.
Okay.
Can I read it to you?
Please, if you can.
"I work at a vet clinic. When euthanizing a pet, we give you the option of staying in the room with them or leaving. Always stay. They look for you once you're gone."
That's a, yeah. Yeah. So that secret you got before.
Yeah, I got that secret years ago, and actually I've received dozens of other emails from people, especially on Facebook recently, because I shared my story, and they were telling me, I learned from the wisdom of that secret too.
That just hit me. Sorry, I didn't interrupt. I have a just 14-year-old chocolate lab, and like Shakira, the hips don't lie, and we know it's probably the last winter, and so on and so forth, so that is something that my wife and I have talked about a lot. Like, and she's had the dog more than I, but been in her life longer. And that hit me too.
Some of these secrets, they just grab you in the heart. And when you go to the website, it might be initially out of voyeurism or to read some of the sexy secrets or the funny ones, but eventually you come across one that just speaks to your heart. And it might be a different one for everybody, but when you see it, It's a powerful feeling when you understand that a stranger has perhaps articulated your secret courageously in a way that is better than you could do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sense of relief for sure if you think you're alone with it. Or sometimes too, you might read a few secrets that you think are silly, but then it causes you to understand that maybe the secrets I'm keeping are silly too, and I'm making way too much of a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We work with young people mostly. When you work with them and you speak to them and you talk about the post-secret story, how do you want them to leave after hearing it? How do you want them to walk out of the room?
Well, my hope is that there's laughter, there's some tears.
Me too. There's a lot of laughter.
There's some embracing. There's some building of bridges within ourselves to our deeper self and to friends and family around us. What I've learned through this project is that there's this invisible connection that links us all. We just can't see it in our everyday lives. But by telling our truths, our stories, our feelings, we're able to illuminate how we do have that solidarity underneath the surface. And it's there all the time. It's an illusion that these are other people's secrets. They're not. They're our story. Mm-hmm. And if there's one secret that maybe has been more meaningful for me than all the rest out of a million plus, it was one that said simply, we're all part of something bigger and we're all part of it together.
So true. Yeah. If you could send out a message, there's the old Tim Ferriss says, if you could have a billboard anywhere in the world to tell everybody everyone's had to see it, what would you say? But I think billboards are getting old. So I used to say, if you could tweet, but now I don't like talking about tweets because they depress me. So if you could send a text message out to everybody in the whole world all at once with one message on it, what would it be?
If you're feeling alone right now, it's an illusion. You're not. We're all connected. There's hope. There's healing. It's available. I've asked for help. And if anybody needs to ask for help, but what's a powerful, right? I'm going on way too long for the
great
text.
It's a long text message. It's okay though.
But for me, the most hopeful thing about young people, when they find the courage to sometimes ask for the help they need, which we all do at some time, it puts you on this journey where once you get the help you need and you find your answers, because they're out there, people are willing to help. There's so much hope. Look at what's happening here. Once they finish that journey, they have found their sense of healing, their transformation. And with that, they have a gift that they can reach back and help others who are struggling where they were, others who can't trust anybody else. And so for me, that's the most inspiring part of how sharing a secret or a story that makes you vulnerable feels a little dangerous at first. But if we can find the bravery to take those steps, it can lead us down a path which doesn't just bring healing and hope and happiness to us, but allows us to share those gifts with others. And for me, that's been the power of the project, is how I feel as though I'm sharing the exact story I wish I had heard when I was in high school and college.
So the text says you're not alone.
You're not alone. We're all connected. It might feel like it, but it's just an illusion. And the secrets that we think are walls separating us, they're really these bridges bringing us closer together if we can find the way to share them.
I heard once someone say, if you want to get rid of racism and bigotry, travel. If you want to get rid of hate, talk.
Mm.
And I think that's what the postcards are, the conversations.
It's a new kind of conversation. It's a conversation made possible by a very old technology, the postcard, and a very modern technology, the internet. And I'm thrilled. I'm so hopeful about the future of the web. We're hearing news about Facebook today, not very encouraging, but there are these new platforms, ones we're familiar with today. There'll be new ones in the future, mm-hmm. and they're allowing us to have new kinds of conversations that have never been possible before. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that somebody listening to this right now will have faith in a crazy idea, start one of these conversations on the web, and it will take them on a journey that is unbelievable. And I can say that with all sincerity because Post-Secret took my life and turned it completely upside down.
Do you hope for the future?
I definitely have hope for the future. And events like this make me the most hopeful. I was in my hotel room just an hour ago listening to some very depressing news. But then coming here, and as we sit chatting, I'm hearing the energy just outside this door. I'm excited about what I'm going to share at my talk. Last night, the young people were doing their thing downstairs. They were up. I was walking through that. They kind of didn't know who I was, and I loved that feeling because I like eavesdropping and just, you know, like a vampire drawing upon their energy and their hope and their understanding. I do a lot of work with a group called Active Minds. It's a mental wellness organization on over 400 college campuses in the U.S. and Canada. And for me, what's so exciting about that organization is not just the great work they're doing, but how it's ground up. It's students taking ownership of the mental wellness issue and coming up with creative solutions that our generation, frankly, failed. And so for me, seeing movements like what's happening in Florida with gun control.
Parkland kids.
Yeah, being led by young people. Yeah. They're tired of our inaction, and they're going to be the ones that remake so much of what's not working today in a way, again, that brings me hope.
Yeah, it's a very inspiring thing to, I mean, I think no matter who you are, what your political stripes are, what your beliefs are, you can't help but be impressed that these young people are doing so much and are so active and are so eloquent and they're articulate in what they're saying, and their passion is just unreal. So that gives me hope, and we've had a lot of people over the last, all the podcasts we've done, that's always coming up. Like, I'm just so impressed by these young people, and it gives me hope. So that gives me hope too. What's next for Post Secret?
Oh, we've got a new art exhibit opening up in the Museum of Man in San Diego. I'm working with Soul Pancake. We have 12 episodes of individuals of every stripe.
Is Kid President in them?
He's not in them.
Oh, okay.
There might be a new one who comes out of it. They're sitting in a room and just telling their stories based upon Post Secret postcards that they read and how they respond to that. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. And beyond that, I love to continue traveling and sharing the transformative power of secrets on colleges, universities, high schools.
Is there another book?
Probably not. No. There have been six. With each book, I tried to tell a different story. And I don't want to, even though the publisher would love it, I don't want to just come out with a book to come out with a book.
Yeah. You have far more secrets than you do. Like, do you have secrets you haven't published, whether it's online or...
Yeah.
Like, there's things where you just like that.
I would say 9 out of 10 postcards no one's ever seen but me.
Right.
The pile of postcards is over 1 million. It's taller than me.
Them all?
Well, they were in the Smithsonian. Now they're out at the Museum of Man. I keep them all. I read every postcard. I think it's a very precious thing.
And do you just track them? Do you file them? Or it's just piles? Are there, is there a system to them? Like, these people are all scared about being naked. And these people are all, you know, whatever. This is the naked pile.
Yeah. What's funny is you being on the spot, having to come up with a secret just on... You have to draw that from somewhere.
Yeah, I am scared. I'm terrified of being naked. I'm
well,
terrified.
We all are a little bit.
I'm terrified. Like, I could never skinny dip. I could never. Yeah, I hide in the dark. I don't think my wife's ever seen me. Yeah. Wow. There we go.
I was at the YMCA today getting in touch with that feeling.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah. Swimming laps.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Two more questions, actually. Who inspires you?
I would say, you know, we touched on it already, young people. Yeah. My daughter inspires me. Her generation inspires me. I would say young people more than anything else, because I spend a lot of time there, too, in that world. Even a lot of my friends are young people. I just think I think my personality got locked in, almost like you form your favorite musical groups and connections when you're in high school and college. I think I'm kind of locked into that world, and it keeps me alive.
Where can people keep in contact with you? How do they get a hold of Frank Warren? How do they go to the Post Secrets? Like, all the details?
They can see new secrets every Sunday on the website at postsecret.com. There are Post Secret books. And I do a lot of traveling and speaking. There's a speaker site that lists where I'm going next, and people can always invite me to their campus too.
Are you on Twitter, Instagram at all? Or?
Sure, Post Secret on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook.
You're just everywhere.
Or just, you know, write your secret on a postcard and mail it to me.
That's awesome. And it can be any postcard. Just grab a postcard.
Make it, create it,
And you like it when, like, you like ones that are like art, creative.
I ask for people to be creative on it, because I think that sometimes putting your secret into words can be so painful that it's easier to use art or graphics or a picture to kind of further convey that emotion. But people get crazy inventive with this. People sometimes mail me objects with secrets on them. I've had people mail me secrets written on naked Polaroid pictures and seashells and license plate frames and a purse and a bra and a flip-flop.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you've ever gotten that's not a postcard but a postcard?
Somebody mailed me a secret on a Starbucks cup they had turned into a postcard. They put a stamp on it, wrote my home address on it, and their secret read, "I serve decaf to customers who are rude to me."
That's a perfect way to end it.
It is.
Frank, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Looking forward to talking more. Yeah, I am scared. I'm terrified of being naked. I'm terrified.
We all are a little bit.
I'm terrified. Like I could never skinny dip. I could never. Yeah, I hide in the dark. I don't think my wife's ever seen me. Yeah. Oh, wow. There we go.
I was at the YMCA today getting in touch with that feeling.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah. Swimming laps.